Everybody likes this gospel. And it's quite a beautiful gift. The message of the gospel, with many, is that the risen Jesus Christ is the explanation of the Old Testament. That's what's being said. There's background to this, I think. There's a rabbinic tradition. See, all revelation has its origin at Sinai, where there was flame and thunder and the revelation and the covenant, the binding between God and the people. All that took place there. So there's the fire of Sinai. Now, the ancient rabbis had this custom. It's called lachros, to string pearls. I think I've told you about this before. Did I? But it's a good story. I'm going to tell you again. It means to go from, there's three parts to the Bible, the law, the prophets, and the writings. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. It's to go from the Torah to the prophets, to the writings, to the Torah, to the prophets, to the writings. That's called stringing pearls. And this is the way you see the relationship, the coherence, the message of the whole Bible at that time. Great ones could pierce the pearls and string them. Now, when this was done well, it brought people back to the fire of Sinai, to the source of revelation. This is a Jewish way of speaking of a very deep mystical experience of beginning to understand God as revealer, as savior, and as the source of the covenant. They tell a story of, a rabbi tells it. He said, at my circumcision, there was a big party, of course. And we invited, my father invited, I think it was Simeon ben Yochai and another, two great rabbis. And so when they came, they were elderly. He put them in a little room by themselves. And Simeon looked out and said, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Everybody's singing, eating, drinking, clapping, dancing. Isn't that beautiful? Why don't we rejoice? Let's string pearls. So they began. They didn't need the Bible, of course, since they knew it. So they started to string pearls. And pretty soon the whole room was filled with fire. So the owner came in and said, you're going to burn down my house. And Simeon said, no, my friend. This is the fire of Sinai. It enlightens. It purifies. But it never hurts you. So, remember that when we go through this text. I can't, with the type time left to us, can't do much, but it's not the first time you've heard it, okay? So, they're on their way. Jesus comes. They don't recognize him. Happens a lot in these resurrection appearances. He asks them what happened. They tell him. And even then, and so, the men come back and say, well, the tomb's empty. And Jesus says of them, now listen to this, okay? Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets spoke. It's all there. Besides the fact that I prophesied this over and over again. Where is your faith? Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? Necessary? Yes, necessary. Because that word, D-E-I, means the will of the Father. It was necessary because of the will of the Father. Not any metaphysical necessity. But it's the plan of God. And it's right there in the Scriptures. Only Scriptures at that time were the Old Testament. We have early fathers of the church, you know, who argue with the Jews from the Old Testament to prove that Jesus is the Christ, died and risen from the dead. Dialogue with Trypho, for one. Now listen, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, huh? Torah and Nevi'im. You don't have here the Ketuvim. He interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. Do we ever read the Old Testament? You see what's happened with the critical method and so forth. The Old Testament is a moving ancient document. Then why is it in our Bible? Well, the New Testament refers to it once in a while. Why? Don't you see? It's all there. Mary knew that. You see? He goes through the Moses and the prophets. Okay? Then, you know, they're going along and stay with us. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread. Now, what did he do with the bread? He blessed, he broke, right? He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. Look at the multiplication of the loaves. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. Look at the institution of the Eucharist. He blessed, he broke, he took and gave. Took, broke, and gave. This is Eucharist. He broke the bread with them. This is my body. This is my blood. And then they run back and they get to where everybody else is. And the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. They're all excited now. Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Couldn't he be made known to us right now? Isn't this the breaking of the bread? Couldn't he? You see, the grace of the resurrection is the understanding of the scriptures. The next event in Luke is good at this. If you remember, then just at this point, they're all excited, and then Jesus comes. And they can't believe because of sheer joy, it says, when we get there. Now, what does he do with them? Then beginning with Moses and the law and the Psalms, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, hear it again. He showed them all that referred to him. So, one of the key great graces of this Feast of the Resurrection is the understanding of Scripture. So pick it up. Study it. Say, Lord, I'm going to start with Genesis 1:1, and until I see your resurrected face, I'm not going to quit. It's all there. Isn't that beautiful? So we don't read the Old Testament just to honor the Jewish people, though we surely can do that. But we see what it always said. If you want to have a little hobby, you can collect all the places in the New Testament where it says that the Old Testament talks about Christ. There's lots. I've got 2 minutes. 1 Corinthians 10. Let us not, they rose up, they ate and drank and rose up to make merry, which was profligacy. Let us not tempt Christ as they did. How could they tempt Christ? Because he was there. John, you search the scriptures. They speak of me. Oh, there's so many of these places. And it's not to deny the validity of historical study, but it's to deny the narrow-mindedness of it. This is God's plan unfolded for us. And the grace of the resurrection is to understand it. We have soon Peter at Pentecost quoting Psalm 16. This you see, is all about Christ. You will not see your, but let your beloved one see decay. He's talking about Christ. And as Peter says, David knew that one of his own would be the Messiah, and he's talking about that one. He's not talking about himself. His tomb is right there. He's talking about another, the beloved one who would not see decay. I don't have time to go on, but there are about 12 places where the New Testament points to the Old as verification. Okay.